Coming up next, WWER presents Your Care Partners, a show dedicated to providing support and education to our community about caregiving. Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Experienced professional caregivers Jill White and Marty Allman have casual conversations about care, offering advice and tips to help navigate caring for others. Jill White is a certified dementia practitioner and an Alzheimer's Association facilitator for caregiver support groups with over 30 years' experience working in long-term care. Marty Allman is certified as a master trainer for the Best Friends approach to Alzheimer's. She is a certified psychiatric nursing assistant with over 20 years' experience working in long-term care.
What's your emergency?
Help, my loved one has fallen and they're in the hospital. What do I do?
Don't wait until you have to call 911 to have options in place. Check in with your navigating care partners.
Hi, I'm Marty Allman.
And I'm Jill White.
Welcome to WWER, Your Care Partners.
88.1 FM on your dial.
Today we're going to talk about what to do if your loved one is in the hospital and where do you go from there. It can be terribly frightening and overwhelming to have someone end up in the hospital and then, you know, maybe they've broken a bone or there's something other serious going on and they're going to be staying in the hospital for a little while. So we thought we'd just kind of talk you through what that process looks like and a little bit of what the responsibilities are of the hospital and what your responsibilities are. Mm-hmm. And keeping in mind that you and the people at the hospital are a team. It's not just all them and it's not just all you. You're working as a team to help your loved one get through this.
The other thing I was going to say, obviously, don't wait until there's a catastrophic event and to try to make a decision because it's the worst time to do it. You won't know what the options are. You may not know who to call or what to do. So these are the things we're going to delve into in a two-part series because it's a lot.
It may end up being three or four-part series. We're finding as we do these videos that there's so much material to cover that we're actually having a hard time kind of picking which one to do next because we just want to get this information out so badly to people. So let's say that your loved one has fallen and you've received a phone call that they're in the hospital. The first thing, you know, obviously it's scary, but know that they're in the hospital and somebody is taking care of them. But it is important for you to be there as soon as you can. Nowadays, you know, hospitals are very busy and nurses have many different hats that they wear and CNAs have many different hats that they wear and they cannot sit with your person in the hospital. If your person has a mild cognitive impairment or maybe they have
a severe
impairment, somebody needs to be there to be their advocate for them.
Very important to have someone there that can talk to the doctors and nurses and ask the questions that need to be asked, which is why it's good to prepare for these things before, and hopefully it won't happen, but at least you'll have the information sort of prepared if and when it does.
And if you can't get to the hospital, you know, maybe have somebody right away, maybe have somebody that you can call, whether it's a neighbor or a good friend of your loved one, to just meet you over there.
Yeah, kind of an extension of us saying, you know, have all your documents in place. Well, it's also important to let your family, let's say, or whoever your contact person is, if they're not in the area, they should know who the local person might be. And that local person, of course, should know who they are and be willing and able to step in until you catch a plane or however your mode of transportation is to get there as quickly as you can.
Right. So let's walk through that scenario. Mm-hmm. Let's say the person is in like a triage or waiting for a bed in the emergency room. they're going to want to know what medications this person is on. They're going to want to know any medical history that this person has. They're going to want to know, you know, probably like the last time somebody ate, or did they take any medications that day? So your person is going to be asked a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Something I was actually discussing with a client this morning was many of your local EMS or fire department.
Mm-hmm. Triads.
What did they
call
that?
File of life.
File of life. So it's a little red envelope, mm-hmm. and it's magnetized, yep. and you stick it on your refrigerator, mm-hmm. and in that envelope has a list of all of your medications and any medical conditions that you might have. They're trained when they respond to look around mm-hmm. for that little pocket that has your information in it. So if you can, talk to your local fire department or EMS and see if they use this in their practices.
Yeah, most first responders do.
Yeah.
They are well aware of it.
Yeah. That's an important piece right there, because then they can just grab that on their way to the hospital mm-hmm. and they have all of that person's mm-hmm. information. But if they don't, just know that your person, and I'm sure you're aware of it, is going to be asked a lot of questions and they're going to be overwhelmed. So let's say you get to the hospital, you're in the room with the person, the people are coming in and out, you may be waiting for a while, and just understand, again, you're part of the team. The minute you step into that hospital, you're part of the team. Mm-hmm. So you need to see that these other team members also have other people that they're taking care of. Just as important as your loved one is, they're taking care of someone else's loved one too. And so just understand it's a process and you may have mm-hmm. to wait. It's always better to be sweet.
Yes.
What is it? You get more bees with honey?
Yes. There was actually something on the news this morning, and one of the physicians said the five things that he would recommend you doing, I don't remember them all, but one of them was be an advocate, be there, be forceful but not obnoxious is what he said, mm-hmm. you know, because you are advocating for this person. You know more about them than any of those doctors or nurses probably
right.
do. So they need you. So you are that important team member, because maybe
yes.
that person, your person, isn't able to, you know.
Right. Or they're in pain and they're not going to be
right.
thinking straight.
Right.
Just try to keep that in mind. You are an advocate, and yeah, you kind of, what is that, normal Ray? You need to, you know, kind of put your normal Ray hat on. But just be aware that
right.
those people, they're there because they want to be there, mm-hmm. and they're doing the best that mm-hmm. they know how.
And they're professionals, so they kind of forget that not everybody knows everything they know.
Right.
They may assume that you all know what's happening or why
right.
it's happening. Don't hesitate to ask questions. And if
right.
they're too busy, ask if there's someone else that you could talk with, that you could get the information that you need to feel comfortable knowing, and giving them the respect that you know they're super busy and
right.
need to get on to the next person.
Right. So I would say the first thing that you need to do once you lay your eyes on your person and you meet the nurse or whatever, ask the nurse, you know, do you have a piece of paper and a pen? Because that's going to help you keep track
mm-hmm.
of what information is coming at you. And it's also going to help you think of things you might need to tell them. So let's say you've gotten through that process and your person is admitted to the hospital. And, you know, I might be rushing this a little bit, but many people have already been to an emergency room
yeah.
and they kind of know.
It doesn't happen in 10 minutes.
Right. It doesn't happen in 10 minutes. So your person has been admitted because they believe there's a fracture
mm-hmm.
of some sort. That person's belongings, the hospital's going to do their best to keep track of that person's belongings, but really those are your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, ask them if they don't offer you a bag or something like that. Ask them, do you have a plastic bag or something that I can put my person's personal items
yeah.
in? Make sure you have those personal items and that they go up to the room with your person. Now, if that person uses a cell phone, you want to make sure that it's charged and that there's a charger for
right.
it. And I know this sounds really basic, but when you're in a crisis,
yeah.
you're not thinking about those things. And that person, you know, needs their phone to call their friends and say, hey, can you feed the cat, or this is what's happening
right.
to me, or whatever.
Or other family members or other people to
right,
notify.
Right. And those numbers will be in there. Let's say it's a neighbor or whatever. The numbers will be in there that you can call family members
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Which, as an aside, means you need to know what the code is to get into their phone.
Yeah, that's part of that emergency thing.
Yep.
It might not be bad to actually have it written in the file of life.
Yeah, because you have your emergency contacts, so, you know, why not?
And I do believe, you know, some municipalities probably have a way to break into your phone and find emergency contacts.
No.
But, excuse me. So that person's got their personal items and you've laid your eyes on their personal items and you guys are settling in. It's a good time to take that little piece of paper and write down what those personal items are. Mm-hmm. Not that anybody would, we don't want to assume anybody would take them, but things get lost.
Well, people, going for tests, going for MRIs or CAT scans.
Right, and then somebody comes in and clean your room and they move something around and the next thing you know.
Take pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Just take a picture of
if you didn't want to write it down, just take a picture of everything that they have. That's a good idea.
Hey! There's my high five.
So, yeah, right? That's why we do this together. So, yeah, you're settling in, and this person, that's probably the first 5 hours of your experience at the hospital. If there's a severe injury or illness. Mm-hmm. And so from that point on, nowadays, hospitals are, you know, there's like a little couch or something like that in the room. If you don't feel comfortable leaving your person overnight, you know, you can stay. But keep in mind that those nurses and those CNAs are not there for you. They are there for your person.
Yeah, stay out of the way. Don't be an obstacle.
Right. And yeah, you know, do your best to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They're busy taking care of, you know, 20 other people plus your loved one.
Right.
So just keep that in mind. You know, they're very kind and they'll probably offer you a lot, but they're not there to serve you. Yep. And I know that sounds really blunt, but sometimes stuff needs to be said.
And sometimes the more you do, I know with my mom when she was in the hospital, I would bring coffee for them, or I would go into the break, ask them where the break room was, and then I would bring water and stuff to my mom so they didn't have to worry about that. So sometimes you can kind of be, as Marty said, a help, and that's how you become part of the team.
Right.
By doing what you are able to do.
Right.
You know, to help out.
Maybe I did sound a little blunt. I don't know.
No, you didn't. Honest.
But honest, yes. And the only reason I'm honest about it is because both you and I have been in that situation.
Yeah.
And it's not fun for anybody. And so let's say you've spent the night or whatever. You're going to need breakfast in the morning. You're going to need snacks throughout the day if you're planning on staying in the hospital. You also need to put somebody in place to relieve you because you cannot stay at the hospital day in and day out without giving yourself a break and a shower.
Please.
And change of clothes and that sort of thing. So think about, you know, who you can put in place. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, you've got other family members or a good friend that can do that for you. And I feel like I'm dominating the conversation, but my mind's kind of rolling with
this. Go with it, girl.
So the next step is, let's say your person has to have a surgery and, you know, you've talked to doctors and you're keeping good notes. And then what's the plan after surgery?
Mm-hmm. It's good to know what options there may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of hospitals now have like a step-down unit where they can do sort of rehab right in the hospital for usually a short period of time. After that, they may say, well, so-and-so has to go to rehab. And most of us, our first reaction to that is, no.
No way.
Don't do it.
No way.
But it's necessary, and it often is what will get somebody back to at least baseline where they had been or close to where they had been. So.
And I'll just tell that little bit of a story.
Yeah.
I would say in the late 90s, my mom was in the hospital for something. While she was there, she had a heart attack and ended up in ICU. And the social worker came and talked to me. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that after the what a social worker does.
Mm.
And she came and talked to me and she said, you know, if we can get your mom out of ICU... and she steps down to, you know, basic floor unit, that she needs to go to rehab. And my not knowing, you know, I was like, oh, absolutely not. No, she's not going to rehab. Because I know when you think of a rehab or a nursing home or an assisted living, we all have these
preconceived.
Yeah, preconceived notions. Looking back on it now, I wish that she had gone to the rehab, and I wish I hadn't been so adamant. Mm. But what you don't know is what you don't know.
Right.
And so what I'm saying to you is, if the doctor recommends or the social worker recommends that this person go to rehab, let them go. And let them build their strength back up and let them get what they need. Yes, you can take care of them at home, but they're going to have everything on hand, medications. They're going to be in touch with the doctor. They're not going to do anything for that person without talking to the doctor first. Mm-hmm. And you've got professionals that are there surrounding that person. I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it's critical after a surgery that wounds stay clean and that they're moving as they should. And
it's even more important nowadays because so many people are discharged like 3 minutes after their surgery, you know, and especially for someone that's had issues or is older or maybe some cognitive, they are not going to be able to take care of themselves at home, even with somebody with them. That's, you know, unless you're trained.
Yeah,
you're
unless
therapist.
You're a registered nurse or a physical therapist.
You can't do it, right?
No. And I wouldn't even attempt that now.
No.
Knowing what I know now. So let's delve in a little bit about people's roles and their responsibilities. So the hospital cannot discharge someone
unsafely.
So whether that's discharging them home with home health in place or discharging them to a nursing facility or rehab, by law, they can't just say, okay, bye. They have to make sure that they put the proper things in place or they help you put the proper things in place. So the discharge planner is also, you know, part of social work in the hospital. The discharge planner or the social worker may come visit you before your person is discharged. It's imperative that you be completely honest with that person about what your person's lifestyle is like.
Yeah, truly, because often the person themselves may not tell the exact truth about what they do for themselves and how well they get around.
Right.
And that's why, going back to the beginning, it's so important to make sure you are part of that team and they understand you're there as a team member to help and to offer information and insight into what's going to work for this person and what may not work. So they definitely do need you and the information you can provide.
Right.
So, I mean, that's like you said, that's imperative to make sure you understand. And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah.
You need to understand, where are they going? How long may they be there? What's going to be in place for them? You know, who are they going to see? What kind of therapy? You know, all that. Mm-hmm. Whatever questions you need to ask, it's really, really important that you ask them of the right person or people.
Right, right. And knowing who that person
is.
And it's usually the social worker or the discharge planner is who you share that information with. So let's say your person is now discharged from the hospital and they come to the assisted living or the rehab. And the person that greets them, and I'm going to break it down a little bit more. So the hospital will contact the rehab or the assisted living. So you're not, of course, it's ultimately up to you where that person goes.
Right.
But once that decision is made, they contact that facility and they share that person's information. That is how it's supposed to work. But just like the telephone game, sometimes things get lost in translation. So this is why it's important for you to know what's being said to these people and what these people know. So now your person is going to be transported to this place. And the first person that sees them is going to be a CNA, more than likely, and the charge nurse for that day. And the charge nurse is to do a full body assessment. This is a must. They must do this. A full body assessment of your person when they're admitted. That way she's got a baseline. She's got a baseline from the hospital. And now she's got a baseline for when that person enters that building.
Mm-hmm.
So if that person, you know, let's say between the hospital and the rehab, something's not right, mm-hmm. that nurse will say, this person needs to go back to the hospital, or, oh, she's fine, and we're going to get her settled in, and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think, and we've both seen this more than once, unfortunately, where someone was sent back from the hospital that still had a fracture that had not been determined. Mm-hmm. So, but the charge nurse was seeing pain and some issues that didn't make sense given what the hospital told her about this person. Mm-hmm. So it as long as you do it, like that doctor said, forcefully, but with respect, because you are the advocate, and you know, their charge is to take care of that person. Mm-hmm. So you want to help give them all the information they need to do that properly, so they can do their job right.
Right. While the nurse is in the room doing the evaluation, you know, it might be best to just let her assess and then say, are there any questions that you have for me that I can help you? That, again, opens that door for you two to be a team. And they'll let you know. Mm. So it is important, let your person settle in. You settle into that place. Get to know who the CNA, they should introduce themselves to you, and there should be something somewhere that says who that person is for that shift.
Yes, I was going to say, for each shift, it should be designated who the DON or charge nurse is. And I just had something else about questions, just to make sure, especially from one shift to another, find out what's going on, what has changed, and if you are the designated person, you have every right to see all the medical records and the notes that are being taken. And that's also important to follow the progress of what's going on and how it's proceeding.
Right. But there's a time and a place for that as well. Yep. So, you know, right when that nurse is done with her evaluation is not the time to ask her for her notes. and sometimes that can be a little off-putting too. You have a right to see them, but it can be a little off-putting and a little unnerving to the people who are caring, because then it might put them on the defensive a little bit. Just expect that, because they're not used to
it. It's the approach. It's definitely the approach. Yeah, you know, if you're not demanding or saying, I want to see what you're writing, you just say, I'm very interested when it's available to know, you know, what your thoughts are, what you're seeing, what you're thinking. So again, that you can be a help to them, not a hindrance.
Right, right. I guess that's going to be our overall theme.
Help, not hindrance. There you go.
Your person and you are settling in. Within 24 hours, that person is going to be visited by several different people that are not nurses or doctors. So you're going to have a social worker come in. That person's going to do an evaluation, simple little sheet, little questionnaire. The physical therapist is going to come in. They're going to do an evaluation. The occupational therapist will come in. They'll do an evaluation.
Activities person
Your activities and recreation person will come in and probably ask a little bit more personal questions about somebody's lifestyle, what they did for a living.
Hobbies.
You know, who is this person? The dietary department will come in and find out your person's likes and dislikes and allergies and any special diets that you're on. And then I believe housekeeping does at some point come in and do their own. If it's a very well-run place, then housekeeping will show up at some point.
They should, hopefully.
Right, right. So, and then there are going to be a lot of people in and out, and it's hard to keep track of everybody's responsibility and who does what, and you just want some answers. So that's another reason why we decided to do this, because everybody who works in that facility has a role and a responsibility and needs accountability just like anybody else.
And it also helps to know, again, personal experience in the family. I have a family member, my ex-husband actually, who's blind. So when he went into an assisted living, my kids made sure there were always signs up on the door, because people would just kind of, they're doing their job. They walk in, may or may not say hello, which is rude if they don't, but you know. And he would hear something and not know who's in there, what they're there for, or if someone's very hard of hearing. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to let everyone know, like Marty said, there's going to be a variety of folks in there. They should all see and understand who that person is, mm-hmm. and if they are hard of hearing or if they are, you know, sight impaired or anything like that. And it'll help them in how they handle the
communicate with the person, and hopefully they've read their notes before they go in.
Usually they're too busy. They're just rushing around,
right?
Or the notes haven't uploaded yet. You know, when it depends on when it happened, it just takes time.
True. And something that you might think be helpful, like you were saying, you know, post something on the mm-hmm. tour. There's certain laws in place where mm-hmm. you can't share a person's personal information. So you may think it's okay to put on the door, Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so is hard of hearing mm-hmm. or is visually impaired. It's not okay to put that on the outside of the door. And if you get frustrated because somebody keeps taking it down, that's why.
That's why.
Because it's nobody else's business in that hallway mm-hmm. what the person in that room is, mm-hmm. what their issue is. If you want to make up a card that kind of says, this is Mr. Jones, mm-hmm. his daughter is, or, you know, son is, Mr. Jones is hard of hearing, Mr. Jones has visual impairment, Mr. Jones startles easy, Mr. Jones has a difficult time communicating, I think that's okay. If you have a little card on their bedside table, that way, you know, whoever this person is can hand the person their card, mm-hmm. or it's just there for them to observe when they're asking their questions.
And of course, but it should be in their chart and in their notes.
It should be.
But mm-hmm. And that reminded me of something from years ago. A lot of these communities and facilities will get phone calls from other family members or interested neighbors, whatever. They're really not supposed to give out information to the wrong people. So I remember, I think it was Riverside when we were there. They kind of suggested that each family have a family password that was noted on the chart, that if the person did not know the family password, they could only be given the most general information. Yes, that person is here. Basically, that's it.
Right, and sometimes...
call their family if you
want. Yeah, depending on the situation, you can't do that either. So understanding the regulations, you mm-hmm. know, the hospital is not being difficult or the rehab is not being difficult. They're protecting your person's identity, privacy, all of those things. For instance, I'm caregiving for somebody right now who's very well known in the area. Mm-hmm. It's nobody's business.
Right.
And she has a lot of people who like her and care about her. But if I was to bump into that somebody somewhere and they say, you know, oh, how's so-and-so doing? I'd be like, I don't know.
You maybe should call her and find out.
Right.
So,
yeah. We're running out of time. That's why this...
How did that happen, buddy?
I know. Because we're passionate.
We get
That's
on a roll.
Why. We're very passionate about what we're doing.
So obviously we've only just barely gotten you into...
Right. You're in the rehab now. So we're going to have to cut this one short. So you guys have a great day, and we're going to continue this discussion on our next podcast.
Take care. Just know you're not alone,
'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. If you or someone you know is caring for others, please feel free to share this podcast with them. You can listen online at wwer.org.
Please send questions, concerns, or suggestions for future topics to our email, carepartners@wwer.org.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.